of employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
All right, welcome, listeners. You're here with Chuck Indereeden. I got Boise Bell, Miss Cindy with us again.
Good morning.
You're here with us here in great city of Fairbanks, Alaska, where it is currently, let's see, 67 degrees and sunny. It's supposed to be a high of 72, although, where's our heart again? And I don't even have a Monster or one of those Canadian communist Celsius drinks.
You're evolving.
Right?
Yeah. Hi, Matt. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Matt's with us as well. Yeah. Anyways, it is fair. The fair is going on, the Tanana Valley. I don't even know why they call it a state fair.
I went
fair.
Out for senior days. I was kind of disappointed.
As she qualifies for now. I mean, yes. That was her own admission, not me calling her old for once.
They did amazing lunch for all the seniors and really took care of them. But what I was just more disappointed.
Hold on. You said amazing lunch, but you came home last night and said something about it being chicken?
Okay, didn't have flavor like you. They don't cook like you, okay? And I'm from Idaho. The potatoes were a little watery. But, you know, you can't complain.
Because being from Idaho makes you an expert on potatoes, Matt.
That's right.
And
but I'll take the compliment about the chicken cooking thing.
Yeah. So there was my one girlfriend wanted to buy one of the purse, which I need to get together, put a thing together for everybody about the different types of carry-in purses. But there was one company out there, and I said, that is a gun purse. And she goes, well, why would I want a gun purse? I said, well, you never know. You might need one in defense. She goes, oh, no, I just put everything in God's hands. Well, we all do, but.
Yeah.
I believe in God, and I trust in God, but yes.
I believe in God, trust in God, but I still train, and God will allow my dot to settle on the center mass of bad threat, and I'll press the trigger, and God will send the bullet to the center mass of their chest, and then they can go wherever they decide to go.
They go talk to God.
And go talk to him or somebody.
I'm used to more vendors being out there, and there wasn't a lot of vendors.
Because if you're ever at In-N-Out Burger, you might need to have a gun purse.
Oh, yeah. That hit in FM 57.
Twin Falls, yeah.
Yeah, Twin Falls, yeah.
Anyways, what I was going to originally was the fact that it is the fall. I mean, it's fair time, so therefore it should be raining all the time now. And we actually got some sunshine.
Well, they moved it up, so I didn't see anything about the pumpkins. I did see some cabbage, which I like to see the big vegetables.
Yeah. I think the Alaska State Fair, they have those too down in Palmer.
Yeah.
The giant ones, like the 1,000-pounders.
Yeah.
But like anything else, it gets too big, it's probably not very tasty. You know, like a 300, 400-pound halibut, although you're probably going to set some type of record, it's just not good eating.
Yeah, so I don't know why they moved the fair up.
I'd rather have a small cabbage. Oh, that's right. They're called Brussels sprouts, I think, aren't they?
Ooh.
I don't know. It's disgusting.
I agree with you, Matt.
Anyways, hey, welcome. You're here with us. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in at 458-TALK. That's 458-8255. And if you're out of state, man, call us. That area code for us is 907. Remember, you can always listen to us live at kfarradio.com. Just click on that big orange ball that says listen live. And also, if you missed a show, check this out. You can go to kfarradio.com, click on Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereeden, scroll down there, because now it says Chuck and Cindy Indereeden, right? Because we're tag teaming this thing, along with Matt running the board for us. Well, I wasn't going to put Matt on there because his head gets too big already.
Exactly.
They had to build a special Kevlar for him when he was in the military. It almost looked like a...
Are you jealous?
It was like three ACHs super glued together.
It's three helmets glued.
I heard you guys had a really great class at the range.
We did. It looked like that helmet that the little Darth Vader was wearing on Spaceballs.
Oh, Lord Helmet? Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he wishes he had a helmet as big as mine.
So tell me about your class.
Oh, no, it was good. It was good. Everybody learned how to properly run their AR and stuff and got some reps in and got their gun zeroed, their red dot zeroed out to 100 yards and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was good. We talked about that last week, I thought.
I wasn't just here a little last bit. Week. So I can get back out once my hand surgery's done. So.
No, yeah, you'll be good. You can run that gun then. So anyways, let's start the show.
Let's start.
Not that we already hadn't, but a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Just a couple announcements here. Just remember, the Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program is still on their break for hunting season. They will reconvene back on October 8th over the TVSA range over at 1230 TVSA Way. I think that was, what, from 5:30 to 7 p.m., so 1730 to 1900 for you military types. Public shooting hours over at the TVSA range are every Thursday from 6 to 8. Cost is only $5 for members, $20 for non-members. And probably our biggest announcement so far, because we really like supporting this team of kids, is the Why Heck Bake Sale is August 8th over at the Diamond Spear Range in North Pole. I guess there's some event that's going on over there, so they're going to like fill in on that and then make their bake sales over there. And then the next day, August 9th, they'll be over at Alaska Ammo. So if you don't want to travel over to the North Pole side of the universe, then you can just go over to Alaska Ammo, where the old, what was in that building before?
Not Trader, Pure One.
Why was I thinking Trader Joe's for some reason?
That's a grocery store.
Not even close.
That's a grocery store.
Not even close. I was like, one of those importing companies or something. Yeah.
Pure One.
Yeah.
They were happy about their prices in Pure One.
No, they were too proud of their crap over there, to be quite honest with you.
I have to agree.
Yeah. So YHEC also has, that's a what, Youth Hunter Education Challenge or something?
Yes.
Yeah. Has their raffle also still going on in for a Winchester 243 rifle. The drawing will be on August 17th. You can call Melody at 907-351-8625 to buy tickets for that. They're still on sale. That's a great opportunity to win a nice 243 rifle. So, hey, and if you missed last week, jump on there on our archives and you can pull up when we had Melody and the team talking about their experience down in Arkansas. And probably the one takeaway that I had from that entire thing is they beat, who was it? Cindy, do you remember?
No.
I do.
I didn't listen.
The other people that think they're the biggest state in the union.
Good old Texas.
Good old Texas. Yeah, bye-bye.
You're diming me out today.
No. No, I'm not. Not really.
Yeah.
So, anyways, don't be tapping your cup too much. We took your candy wrappers away. Now you have a coffee cup to tap on the table, and everybody's going to hear it out there. All right, so let's get into this week in firearms history. Wasn't a lot of developments going on, apparently. Maybe the entire firearms industry takes the summer off or something. I don't know.
You know, it's good. Sometimes there's a need a reset, you know?
It's hunting season.
Well, they weren't sitting around in the 1700s and 1800s, like, pondering stuff in their cabin or, like...
I don't know. I think that's all they had to do. They couldn't watch TV.
Well, that's why they did it in the wintertime, and then in the summertime they got out and went fishing or hunting or something. I don't know. Just... frolicking in the
picking
in the,
berries, thinking
in the prairies.
About thinking about how lever actions are great.
Yeah, exactly. But sad to report that a significant, recognizable American frontierman has passed away. That was on August 3rd, in 1870. Actually, he was killed August 2nd, 1876, in Deadwood, Dakota Territories. He was shot behind while playing poker. Cindy, what hand was he holding when he got shot?
I don't know. Tell me, please.
You know, you have a set of notes in front of you.
I know.
All right, anyways.
Now you know why I'm not in the studio all the time. I've got to enjoy the warm summer.
I don't disagree with you at all. Maybe we can hold this outside. We'll have to talk to Perry about that. Yeah. Anyways, James Butler Wild Bill Hickok, 1837 to 1876, remains one of the most recognizable figures of the American frontier. He served as a Union scout and spy during the Civil War, later worked as a lawman in Hays City in Abilene, Kansas. We've been in both those places. Nothing's changed. And became a celebrated and sometimes exaggerated gunfighter and showman. He was killed on August 2nd, 1876 in Deadwood, Dakota Territory, shot from behind while playing poker. The hand that he was holding was aces and eights, also known as a dead man's hand now. You didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. His now, because this is a shooter's corner, we're going to talk about his preferred firearms real quick before we have to go into our break. His preferred sidearm was the Colt 1851 Navy. It was Hickok's clear favorite throughout most of his adult life. It was in 36 caliber. Contemporary accounts and surviving examples indicate he typically carried a pair of them. Huh, it's kind of like Patton did.
Yeah.
Because you know what also was interesting about this? They were often fitted with ivory grips. Kind of like Patton.
Yeah.
You carry.
Drew some inspiration there.
Maybe there is. You know, Patton actually believed, that, not to digress, but Patton actually believed that he was reincarnated.
Really?
Yeah, he was actually, I think, a Spartan or a Roman warrior or something like that. Or it was something like that. Yeah,
a lot of,
somebody out there knows. They'll call in.
A lot of concussions from World War I artillery really will do that to you.
Fair enough. So some of the key characteristics of his 1851 Navy was it was a 36 caliber percussion, cap and ball, often fitted with ivory grips. He frequently wore it butt forward in a sash or open top holsters, allowing a cavalry or twist draw.
What's a butt forward?
I think it's around. I think it's a rap song.
I was going to say, I think you turn around to face your enemy. You go butt forward.
That's front towards enemy.
Yeah.
Like a claymore.
Oh, you just back towards enemy.
No, the butt of his gun. Where the
butt forward. Got it.
I mean, we couldn't say his beaver tail is facing the enemy.
I'm sorry.
I mean, that would be a PG-13 show here.
I've never heard it called that before.
You have to go over to YouTube for
that. I've never heard you say that word.
All right, fist bump.
Best
All right, we got to go into our first break. When we come back, maybe we'll continue this interesting dialogue of Wild Bill Hickok. All right? We'll be right back. Stay tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner, 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
My fiancé is a veteran.
I did tours in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia before I got injured.
When Yusuf got out of the military, he needed help getting his disability benefits.
Luckily, DAV came to the rescue. They fought for me the same way that I fought for my country.
Every year, DAV provides life-changing support to more than a million veterans.
My victory is never giving up and finding more ways to serve.
He's pretty amazing.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. This is Lori Prox with KBAK Radio in Valdez, and the silver salmon fishing is heating up. The top three spots in the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby are held by anglers catching a silver weighing more than 13 pounds. But with the Valdez Women's Silver Salmon Derby this Saturday, August 8th, there will definitely be changes in the leaderboard. Valdez Fish Derbies will give away $1,000 cash and $1,000 in prizes from Prospector Outfitters to the woman catching the largest fish in the Valdez Women's Silver Salmon Derby. Second place winner will get $500 cash, $500 in prizes, and third place, $300 cash and $300 in prizes. People can register at Prospector on Egan Drive Wednesday through Saturday morning, and one lucky angler will be crowned Queen of the Silver Salmon Sisterhood. The theme of this year's Women's Silver Salmon Derby is Tatas, Tutus, and Extra Tough. There's a breast cancer awareness walk at 6:30 on Friday night in Valdez, followed by an art scramble for Women's Derby participants. Information on the Women's Derby can be found at ValdezFishDerbies.com. In the Valdez Halibut Derby, it's Rodney Myers of Franktown, Colorado, leading with a 256-pounder. The Halibut Derby and Silver Derbies run through September 6th.
Coming to Valdez? Stay at Valdez RV Park. These TripAdvisor reviews tell you all you need to know.
Each site was clearly labeled, ground was graded well, and it's so close to the harbor.
Owners are friendly and accommodating, and the laundry, shower, and bathrooms were very clean. They even had s'mores at the fire pit.
Visit ValdezRVPark.com today.
KBAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
The only way to handle the weather on any hunt is to be ready for it before you go. Visit Frontier Outfitters, keeping hunters dry and comfortable for decades with rain gear by Helly Hansen, fieldwear by Cryptic, shirts, vests, coats, and pants by Browning, boots by Danner and LaCrosse, socks by Smart Wool and Fox River, covered head to toe, warm and dry. Your successful hunt starts at Frontier today. Clothing to tents, camp gear, and more. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's that time of year again. The sun is out, roads are clear, and gravel is everywhere. At Auto Trim Design, we have you covered with our self-healing paint protection film, keeping your paint looking showroom new and defending from rock chips and scratches, helping your car stay flawless for years. With our ceramic window tint, not only will it add a stylish look, it also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, blocks heat, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by or give us a call to get your vehicle ready for summer in Alaska.
KFAR Weather. a mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 77. Southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Slight chance for isolated rain showers. Lows dip down to about 53. Slight chance for isolated rain showers tomorrow. Highs around 70. Mainly cloudy skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're with Chuck Indereeden at Shooter's Corner here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. Yeah, if you miss the first part of this show, probably.
Just go listen.
Yeah, the FCC hasn't banned us yet.
No.
Anyways.
Now I learned what a butt forward is.
All right, we're starting off with that. Good.
We're starting off with that.
Yep.
We're on a move. All right, you know what an ivory grip is?
Yes, I know what an ivory grip is.
So back to the 1851 Navy, which is what Wild Bill Hickok, what we were talking about is really not a lot of significant developments. However, Wild Bill Hickok was actually shot and killed on August 2nd, buried on August 3rd. You don't want to keep him out of the ground too long. Not in August, not in Dakota Territories. Man, you got to imagine the freaking smell that would have started already.
God, I don't want to think about it.
It's going to be like 98 degrees or 100 or something there. But anyways. God. So the 1851 Navy was lighter and better balanced than the heavier 44 caliber Colt Dragoons or the later 1860 Army. It was accurate enough for the distances typical of frontier confrontations and had a reputation for reliability when properly maintained. Hickok's skill with these revolvers was widely reported. Accounts from the period described him as an excellent marksman, capable of consistent hits at practical ranges. So while the Navy revolvers were his primary sidearms, records and contemporary reports associate him with additional weapons over the years. So he also was known to have possibly used a Colt Dragoon in 44 caliber, used earlier in his life. Local accounts from the 1850s credited him with hitting targets at longer distances with one. The Colt 1860 Army, a converted 44 caliber example, is mentioned in some research. And in the Springfield Model 1870 sporting rifle and 50 caliber, reportedly buried with him in 1876. That's wild. I wonder if he was buried with his navies as well.
I think we can go find out.
Well, I bet you won't. Because interestingly enough, in 1876... Well, it was buried with him in 1876, but they didn't have the exact date when that rifle was removed from the grave.
Hmm.
I imagine some grave robbers probably were.
Someone that watched him go down, they're like, I'm taking that in a month.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they still do that, though, in Louisiana, Mississippi. They still rob graves.
You think so?
It's very lucrative business.
Yeah.
What are they going after, Cindy?
Jewelry.
Teeth.
That's teeth. What I would think. Yep. Gold teeth, gold caps nowadays, especially, what, $5,000 an ounce? Who knows?
Grandma's old necklace, and it turns out to be fake once you did all that digging. That's great. God darn it.
I don't think people...
There's a lot of people... I know. We go down so many rabbit holes on this show, but I know you guys are entertained by this, but I know a lot of older people that have bought stuff that thought it was worth a lot of money. Like, this is a diamond, and then you inherit it, and it's like... glass.
Well, hold on. We have to talk about, if we're going to talk about that, Beanie Babies. Same thing. My grandmother still has a room the size of this area full of Beanie Babies at her house, and she thinks it's worth something. You're not getting more than $30 for that whole room. Thank God this.
And you probably paid $5,000.
Oh yeah, something ridiculous.
You know, you're sitting directly across from the Beanie Baby Queen. She's like the Imelda Marcos of Beanie Babies.
Well, I haven't seen them when I go over to your guys' house, so no, she hides it well.
They're stored away.
Oh, you're a closeted Beanie Baby collector. Got it.
They're in a tub.
She hasn't come out of the Beanie Baby closet.
The Beanie Baby closet.
Oh, another BBC.
Oh my God. All right.
The Beanie Baby closet.
Surrounded by BBCs.
All right. Anyways, moving on. That is forever going to stay. Cities in the Beanie Baby closet.
It's inside jokes, and it is all PG, listeners. Yeah.
Problems,
Yep.
All right.
Let's
so
get back to our guns.
Many of the more dramatic claims about Hickok's gunfights and body count were exaggerated by newspapers and dime novels of the era. Of course they were. They wanted to sell stuff. It's kind of like modern-day media nowadays, right? Careful historical research, particularly the work of Joseph G. Rosa, has reduced the number of confirmed killings attributed to him. What remains consistent across reliable sources is his preference for the Colt Navy and his reputation as a skilled, deliberate shooter rather than a reckless gunman. Hickok's choice of the 1851 Navy illustrates a practical approach common among experienced frontier figures. Select a reliable, well-balanced firearm that one has mastered thoroughly and maintain it carefully. The transition from percussion to cartridge conversions in his later years also reflects a broader shift in American gun handgun technology in the 1870s. Well, I'm glad we worked through that.
Hey,
what?
I do have a question for you. So we're having early elections right now. So just the primary. So we need to really look into this and see.
People need to vote.
People need to get out and vote.
It is insane what the turnout is. There's like, what, you know.
Early voting was 98%
of people are like registered, but only like 2% vote or some crazy thing. I mean, I'm sure my number's off on that bottom, but like, it is insane how many people think that their vote doesn't count. Maybe not so much at the national level, but the grassroots, local level, that counts.
That counts.
That
yeah.
counts.
And I'm, you know, all this no and yes to two and stuff. You guys really take the time and do
Well, they intentionally switch that stuff up.
They do.
Last, you know, like last election cycle, it might have been vote no on one or two, which is the ranked choice voting. Mm-hmm. And now it's vote yes on two. Mm-hmm. Like, but you know how many people probably won't even read it or understand it because they write it in some legalese and nobody can freaking understand.
Yep.
And then you just go in there. It's like, oh, last time it was no. So they check no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like we got Sullivan and
they're like me. They
didn't
bring their readers with them.
We're going to have Sullivan and Sullivan. So.
Well, I feel like with a lot of stuff with even the small grassroots voting, I mean, I understand the national side of it, but you see that it seems like everyone you talk to, everyone and their mother is saying, we don't want this. And somehow it still wins. And you constantly repeat that little cycle of, this is what we want. Oh, we're not getting it. People just drop off. And then what doesn't help is when you talk to other people about voting, they're like, I don't even vote. It doesn't even matter. And it just makes things worse
and worse.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like going to a city assembly meeting to voice your opinion on something, but they've already made their vote.
Yep. Their mind has been made. They're just they're there to hear you this out because they have to.
It's all.
We've done that. That was just like, yeah.
Yeah, you knew just by the composure of the people sitting behind their little bench. Yeah. They like already had their minds made up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like it was all just
tap and dance.
It was a mental game to them.
Yeah, that was.
Anyways.
All right.
This week brings an important development in the ongoing effort to restore constitutional limits on federal firearms regulation. And Matt and I are going to talk a little bit more about this as well, but the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas has ruled that key registration and improvement requirements under the National Firearms Act for suppressors, short-barreled rifles, and short-barreled shotguns exceed Congress's authority. The court's reasoning is straightforward and grounded in the Constitution's structure. Imagine that. Let's go back to the main document, for the love of God. Congress originally enacted the National Firearms Act in 1934 as an exercise of its taxing power. The extensive regulatory apparatus, registration, applications, ATF approval, fingerprinting, and criminal penalties was justified because it aided the collection of a transfer and making taxes. Taxation is theft. Like, said it out loud again, and I'll continue to say it. Last year, Congress eliminated those taxes on suppressors, short-barreled rifles, and short-barreled shotguns. Once the tax foundation was removed, the court held the regulatory requirements that depended on it lost their constitutional basis. So you remove the tax, it doesn't need to be there anymore.
Nope.
Imagine. The government argued that the remaining rules could still be sustained under the Commerce Clause or the Necessary and Proper Clause. I got a clause. Taxation is theft clause. The court rejected that. The court rejected that position, noting that Congress had enacted the challenged provisions solely under its taxing authority because those provisions can no longer rest on a valid enumerated power. The court declared them unconstitutional. Notably, the court did not reach the plaintiff's Second Amendment arguments. The decision rests on Article 1, limits on congressional power. The ruling has been stayed for 7 days to allow the government time to seek relief from the Fifth Circuit. Appeals are expected, and the final outcome will take time to resolve. Still, the decision represents a significant recognition that federal regulatory schemes, must remain tethered to actual constitutional authority. I was trying to think of, like, What would be another synonym for scheme? Oh, scam.
Scam, yeah.
There we go.
It's pretty close.
Another federal regulatory scam. For Alaskans, the practical implications are clear. Alaska has long maintained a strong culture of lawful firearms ownership, constitutional carry, and responsible use of modern defensive tools. Suppressors, short-barreled rifles, and short-barreled shotguns are already legal under state law for those who navigate the federal process. Removing unnecessary federal registration and approval hurdles would reduce cost, delay, and administrative burden for law-abiding residents who choose these tools for hunting, home defense, or training. That was cool. Having like every gun that we had in our defensive rifle class had a suppressor.
Yep.
I called it a polite rifle class.
Yeah.
I think that's what Craig called it. This is a very polite class.
It was nice on the ears.
Yeah.
Hey, I just pulled up some new information.
Good. We'll have to get back to that.
Yes.
Because we have to go into our mandatory break. That's the music cueing us in right now. So stay tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner. We're going to continue to talk about this Fifth Circuit decision and then whatever Cindy happened to pull up here. But nonetheless, stay tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner. We'll be right back after this mandatory break, local national news and weather.
KFAR, streaming live 24/7 at KFARradio.com. Thanks to the Tanana Earth Company.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. The Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee voting to long party lines hold the former director of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, in contempt of Congress. This after he invoked the Fifth Amendment, refused to answer questions at a hearing last week. Chairman Rand Paul argues that Fauci's actions threaten Congress's power to conduct oversight.
A subpoena is not an invitation. A subpoena with no consequence is not a subpoena. It's a suggestion.
Ranking member of the committee, Gary Peters, argues this vote will damage the Senate's ability to subpoena witnesses.
Future witnesses will argue that appearing before Congress exposes them to punishment regardless of whether they comply with the subpoena and invoke a constitutional protection.
Chairman Paul claims that Dr. Fauci cannot invoke his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination because he already received a sweeping pardon from former President Joe Biden. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports Alaska State Troopers are reporting that they arrested 9 people during a multi-agency enforcement operation at Salmon Fest last weekend, including 8 people accused of felony drug distribution. Troopers helped patrol the annual music festival in Nanilchik from July 31st through August 2nd, according to a Tuesday dispatch released by the Alaska Department of Public Safety. Patrol troopers from Anchor Point were joined by undercover investigators from Soldotna, Anchorage, and the Matsu Valley. Officers from the Anchorage Police Department also assisted with the operation, which authorities said focused on the use and distribution of psychedelic and stimulant drugs at the festival. Troopers said the enforcement effort resulted in 9 arrests, 8 of which ultimately involved felony allegations of distributing controlled substances. As a result of the operation, authorities reported seizing methamphetamine, ecstasy, prescription pills, and what they described as a substantial amount of psychedelic mushrooms. Investigators also seized cash and firearms they said were connected to drug distribution.
Online at KFAR660.com.
So, you want to go so far up the river you need an airboat? Well, that's just scary, and it's why you need Rogers Auto Repair. Hey, make sure everything works perfectly before you leave. I mean, everything works, right? Rogers Auto knows airboat and inboard maintenance. They use and maintain both for decades, using ultralight plywood so your airboat repairs are light as a feather. Before you disappear up your favorite skinny little excuse for a river, call Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work truck set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're with Chuck, Miss Cindy, and Matt. All right, so we are still talking about The constitutional decision coming out of the Fifth Circuit out of Northern Texas. Let's go back to this. Okay, so we were talking about suppressors, short barrel rifles, short barrel shotguns in Alaska before we had to go into our mandatory break. And so this case was actually brought by the National Rifle Association together with the American Suppressor Association, the Second Amendment Foundation, the Firearms Policy Coalition, and other partners. Was GOA involved in that as well?
I want to say they were.
They're a big group. They got over 2 million members, and I don't see them listed on
what's
there.
What's weird is that in the actual named case, it's Silencer Shop Foundation, and then plaintiffs included. They're the ones that I believe kicked this off, but I think the NRA, because they have the backing, were spearheading most of it. But either way, yeah, I think it was GOA, and I can't remember who else was there. I'd have to look, trying to look it up now.
Yeah, please do. So the bottom line is the Second Amendment protects the right of the people to keep and bear arms. We know that. We say it at the beginning of every show. That right is meaningful only when ordinary citizens can lawfully acquire and possess the tools appropriate to their circumstances without facing regulatory regimes that have outlived their original constitutional justification. I'd say a lot of them, like Washington, has outlived its use. Sorry, I digressed again. This ruling is one step in restoring that balance, obviously. So, hey, bottom line, stay informed, stay engaged, continue to exercise your rights responsibly. That's my editorial for this week is Shooter's Corner. So, what say you, Matt? What did you get pulled up there,
damn
buddy?
Everyone. So let's see. So we had Silencer Shop, we had Gun Owners of America, Gun Owners Foundation, Firearms Regulatory Accountability Coalition, BNT USA, Palmetto State Armory, Silencer Co.
Who's BNT?
I forget what they actually stand for. They make the SPA-3 is like their version of a UMP, MP5. They also have some bigger platformed weapons out. They make really good firearms.
I wasn't familiar with them.
Well, let's see. Silencer Co., Weapons Research LLC, and then another subsidiary of Silencer Co., and then an individual, Brady Wetz, and 15 states, which include Alaska, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Montana, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, Wyoming. Those were the states that were brought in with this. And then additional entities like Hotshot Customs, Texas State Rifle Association, FPC Action Foundation, and Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. That was a lot.
And you navigated it so well.
Yeah, everyone and their mother is on this.
Well, that's good, because if you're a member of the NRA and stuff, it's applicable to you, correct?
Yep. If you've purchased a silencer suppressor through Silencer Shop, Silencer Co., Palmetto State Armory, any NFA item, but short barrel shotgun, short barrel rifle, anything like that, if you've submitted not only a Form 4 but a Form 1 as well, you are lumped into it. Doesn't matter if you just purchased it, it's pending now. If you have ever used anything, any of these procurements or forms you've had to fill out through these organizations, you are lumped in on this.
That's pretty cool.
I think that's great.
I think it's going to be cool that one day you just be able to walk into a store or maybe order through a catalog or
those days
like you said
over
the other day, like Amazon.
Yeah, I would love next
and
day.
And just have a suppressor show up like next day,
delivery.
Day air.
Yeah. Oh, look at a Surefire RC4. Nice. I ordered it.
You don't
yesterday.
Like that idea, Cindy?
I don't think you'll be able to order that through a catalog. I'd be shocked if you do.
But you'd probably be able to go to a reputable FFL or something like that, or a gun store and buy one.
Well, I think it'd be the same thing that they're doing now. Just because I imagine what I'd like to see happen with this is that it turns into, it's just an accessory, right? Like ordering an optic, ordering a muzzle device, anything like that, where I can order it straight to the door. What I imagine is going to happen is it's still going to be a 4473 has to get filled out. But like how they're doing with suppressors, a lot of these companies like Palmetto State Armory, I think Silencer Co., Silencer Shop, where it's straight to your door delivery. You fill out all the stuff online, and then you give them the FFL stuff, and it gets shipped straight to your doorstep for
once it's approved.
Yeah, once it's approved. Yeah. But instead of having that, you know, just doing the 4473 online, which is what the ATF is gunning for in the first place, is there's no point having you go in and do anything else because you're just doing it online in the first place when you go into the store now. I'd like to see it be the same way.
It'd be even better if a drone delivered it.
What kind of drone? Are we talking Ukrainian drones? So if it's delivering a gun,
slamming
it's not
into a Russian beach.
Yeah, it's not in a really cool way. I know I'm going to be scared.
Well, the warhead delivery didn't go off as planned.
No. But those blades are sharp.
So anyways, you know, you during the break, you shared something that was actually pretty cool. I did not know that the magazine-fed bullpup design was actually created back in like 1866 by William Joseph Curtis.
That is insane. And it's so weird looking at the explanation of it, but it...
I pulled it up.
Yeah.
Like it's wild. So it was patented in Britain on July 10th, 1866. British patent 1810 for a breech action sliding breech blocks and stocks. Imagine that. Only the Brits could come up with that.
The Curtis rifle.
Curtis, a civil engineer in Islington, London, worked on Britain's expanding railway and tram networks. The rifle appears to have been a late career invention that never left the patent drawings during his lifetime. And that's a picture of it.
Yeah.
So I'm not seeing the bullpup design on that.
I think it's because,
ladies and gentlemen, what we just looked at, it was like a picture that Matt pulled up of it, but I don't think that it doesn't look like the traditional bullpups we have now with a magazine in the rear on the stock.
No, I'm trying to figure out how that constitutes.
Because it says here that the layout is thoroughly unconventional for the 1860s. The action and fixed brass drum magazine sit behind the trigger group.
So the
rifle is rested over the shoulder, much like a modern shoulder fired anti-tank weapon. A folding leather strap serves as the stock and nest into the shoulder pocket. The shooter grips the loop near the muzzle with the support hand and works the trigger and the bolt or the slide handle with the firing hand. That just doesn't even sound fun.
Looking at this, it looks like...
It's a carfuckle.
Modern now. I mean, here's the... That's the actual...
But it looks
normal. But I imagine for that time, having so much stuff going on that far back was probably a little unnatural, so it constituted as a bullpup.
Yeah, no, that's nothing. But in 1866, most modern or major armies were still transitioning to the single-shot breech loaders, while the newly formed Winchester Repeating Arms Company was just introducing the 1866 lever action. Curtis's combination of the bullpup layout, pump action, drum magazine, and striker ignition was decades ahead of anything that reached production or serious military. So bottom line is this just stayed in a patent war.
Oh, you know what?
It was never actually...
I pulled up the wrong thing. That's the Curtis rifle.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
But still.
Because, I mean, you have your...
That's why it does look like an anti-tank gun.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a skinny law.
You got some weird...
Yeah. Or an AT-4. Yeah,
I mean, there is a drum mag. It looks like someone beat up a trombone and then put a bullet in it.
They
like
took the What is that cone thing, the horn end of a trombone off, and basically, yeah, and then put a rifle.
There we go. That's an actual picture of it.
Yeah, still no. Or no. That's a pass. There's a reason why that thing never got off.
I'm going to bullpup.
But hold on. It says that, let's see. The Curtis example was chambered in 32 WCF. The court ruled for Winchester in 1897. The model 1897 pump shotgun followed shortly afterwards. Yeah, so Winchester basically got into a fight with them and stuff like that and basically won because they're the big dog anyways during that time frame, sounds like. Probably a good thing because I don't know how anybody or why anybody would even want to shoot that thing.
No,
it was ugly.
The whole point of a bullpup was to keep things small and simple. I mean, obviously not according to the first patent of it. But, I mean, you have a musket that you just put over your shoulder and somehow you made longer. So this is not great. It's pretty ugly.
Mm-hmm. You know, they probably would have put that into manufacturing and stuff like that, and then we would have to save them in World War II again anyways.
Was Curtis British?
Yeah.
That explains the L-85.
The what?
The L-85, what the Brits use, their bullpup.
Oh.
They just never progressed. Just put some stamp steel over it.
Stamp steel over it. Same action. Yeah, he was actually born in England in 1802.
God, what an ugly little thing that is.
1875.
Gross.
So, anywho. Hey, what you got? What are you playing over there? You playing cities over here playing solitaire.
Candy Crush.
No.
She don't play Candy Crush.
No.
I think she plays that Mahjong or whatever.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it?
I play memory games because my mind's maturing.
I wouldn't necessarily be nice and call it maturing, but okay. You do you, boo. It's like, I'm not going blind and need readers. Like, my eyes are just maturing. Okay, yeah.
The world's getting fuzzy. I don't know why, but it's not on me.
It's not on you. As long as I still can operate my handgun and I have my red dot, I'm okay.
Right?
That's all that matters.
No, I walked out. Where were we the other day? I walked outside of the house and I was like, man, the world is like fuzzy. Like, my eyes just hadn't woke up yet. Maybe that was like early onset of glaucoma or something. I don't know. It just sucked.
Just age.
It is age sometimes. It is age when you get your first Social Security check in the mail.
I'm looking forward to it. I got 40 years left.
If we have it still.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's why I jumped on it early. You know, I'll take all that and just spend it on SpaceX.
Suppressors.
And suppressors.
Suppressors and stocks, the two S's.
Yeah, I think that's important. What else we got going on in the world?
Ooh, let's see.
Yes,
we got a minute before we go into our brocade.
We have a minute.
Where did you go?
And the...
So I guess we can explain on the... Well, we could talk about this after the break, but explaining the editorial and the decision on, you know, the NFA, what that means now, because there is a stay, but I've already seen people online, which it's online, people are, you know, room temperature IQ, but explaining the legality of it, like not, you know, you're not going and making things. You're not form one-ing your own stuff without the form one and doing X, Y, and Z now because there was a ruling. We still have to wait for everything to go through.
And then even then, I think that the government is still going to have, like, guardrails in place.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is not just going to be, like, just lottie-dottie, everybody go, like, screwing on oil filter freaking suppressors.
AutoZone oil filters.
Yeah. Like, everybody, my AutoZone doesn't have any oil filters anymore, or fuel filters. Ooh. Yeah, because they turned them all into suppressors. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, so anyways, got to go into our last break. And then when we come back, we're going to obviously come up with something more interesting. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about arming Beanie Babies as a tat toy story.
Filling them with Tannerite.
Yeah.
Filling Tannerite Beanie Babies. All right. We'll be right back after this break.
Summer in Alaska is calling. Is your ride ready? From camping trips and fishing weekends to road trips, ATVs, boats, and side-by-sides, summer fun starts with a vehicle that works and plays as hard as you do. At Auto Trim Design in Fairbanks, they help you gear up with accessories and upgrades that make every adventure better. From truck accessories and window tint to remote starters, audio, and more. This summer, take the scenic route, hit the trails, and enjoy every mile, knowing your ride was customized by Auto Trim Design.
Setting up camp is some of the most challenging work in hunting. Doing it right makes all the difference. Visit Frontier Outfitters. You'll be camping in style. Find the right gear, a great selection of tents, even wall tents, tent wood stoves, stoves by MSR Jetboil and Coleman, sleeping bags by Kelly, Mountain Hardware, and more. Thermarest mattresses. Transport it all with ATV accessories and trailers. Pick up everything for your comfortable, successful hunting camp from Frontier Outfitters today. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
77 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the southwest around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 53. Tonight, slight chance for isolated showers. Slight chance for isolated showers. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 70, more clouds than sun. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska, where we're still holding a steady 68 degrees. And it's sunny.
It's pretty warm out there.
I'm not mad.
I'm not either.
It's actually a cool 75 degrees here in the studio.
And you know what? It beats negative 40.
Man, we've been talking about a lot of stuff today.
We have.
We talked about Wild Bill Hickok and the guns that he carried. So if you missed any part of that in the first part of the show, make sure you get on that. We talked about Y-Hack having their bake sale coming up. And then we talked about Cindy's Beanie Baby collection. And
Matt's Beanie Baby collection.
No, not mine. Don't put that juju on me.
Yeah. And then we talked about the Fifth Circuit out of North Texas, having their stay on the government's restriction of suppressor short-barrel rifles, short-barrel shotguns, and all the organizations that are involved in that. And Matt or Cindy's going to come up with something else. And go, Cindy. And nothing.
Nothing.
How's a Mahjong game going on over there?
Yeah. Cindy's fighting a headache off today.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We could divulge a little bit if we wanted to. There's some interesting, I think, better news for, it could be good or bad, but for the Army, change in policy to their equal opportunities program.
All right, hang on one second, though, because we do have something that actually is firearms related, although they're large firearms. Because remember we talked before during the Civil War and the ironclads and how they had their – remember the one gun that blew up and, like, blew up the boat or whatever like that, the ship? Anyways, do you remember the saying, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead?
Yes. I don't remember where I heard it.
I remember seeing it like on these old movies and stuff like that, the World War II, like submarine movies or whatever like that. But that was Union Admiral David Farragut, who led his fleet in the Mobile Bay, Alabama. Yeah. One of the decisive naval actions of Civil War. So the battle is famous for Farragut's order, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead while navigating Confederate minefields and facing the ironclad CSS Tennessee. And shore batteries sealed one of the last major Confederate ports and demonstrated the growing dominance of armored warships and heavy naval ordnance. So it was primarily a naval engagements with their big heavy guns. So not the handgun or the rifles that we would be. I think it would be cool. I don't know. To have like or shoot those guns on like the USS Iowa or Missouri or something like that. Like somebody had to pull the trigger on that thing. I'm sure it was electronic, but like. I think it would still be cool to be down inside that turret when that thing goes off.
Probably rattle you away.
You wouldn't want to be on the deck.
No, God, no. You wouldn't want to be under it.
It would be like being you know what was a minimal or a miniature version of that? Was standing off to the side when you were shooting that 50 cal on the range the other day.
Oh, yeah.
if you're dumb enough, and we're not. We knew, based on our training and experience, of not standing next to big things that go boom. But anyways, if you ever stand to the side of the gas brake.
Yeah.
Of the muzzle brake, right? Of a 50 cal BMG when it's being fired in semi-automatic mode. And Matt is standing, racking off like five rounds, working on his future TBI.
Yeah, exactly.
But nonetheless, yeah, that was pretty cool, be honest with you.
It's fun to do.
Got to get that video.
Doesn't even when someone else was firing it, being 20 feet behind it, you could still like feel your teeth chatter. Like, okay, mm-hmm. this is good. Really like it.
Well, I remember being in the turret of a Bradley and shooting the 25 Mike out on high, which is 200 rounds plus or minus 5 per minute. Nonetheless, and it pushing my eyeballs back into my CVC, my combat vehicle crewman helmet.
Wow,
I'm sure I've experienced some type of
how'd you pull
prefrontal
your eyeballs
cortex
out?
Disfigurement.
Yeah,
from that thing. How'd I put my eyeballs back in my head?
Pull them back out.
Those weren't fun. You start shooting those, you start to rattle around, and your driver doesn't tell you you have a big dip going in, and your face doesn't have the pad on the gunner sight, and you smack your face off of the DB. It's a good time. It's really fun.
Why would you not have your? Never mind.
The pad fell off. It just kept falling off, and our mechanics were lazy.
Just circle X it.
We're like, we need a new one, and we need a whole bracket. They're like, best we can do is tape. Like, all right, thanks, man.
You're not going over 100 miles an hour. You're good. All right. So.
We do have a firearms.
Related topic?
Yeah. So, Texas company that makes rapid-fire rifle triggers, known as, unfortunately, rare breed triggers.
They're not automatic, so for the record,
they are.
They're super semis.
Yeah, super semis, force super semi-automatic. So there was someone who made a similar design to Rare Breed, not patent infringing, but it was close enough that Rare Breed has sued them.
Not Atreus, was it?
No. This was a guy.
Oh, okay.
And he was all he did was put the file out saying like, hey, here's this. If you want to, this doesn't, you know, he
so you went down 3D print it in your garage,
pretty much.
Your
mom's basement. You can send it off to have it, you know, CNC'd, whatever, but it doesn't violate the patent infringement. Well, Rare Breed, I guess, when they redesigned their V3, well after this guy had made this file downloadable and free for the public, now what he did in the past is infringing on their patent, which they created, again, well after, and now they are targeting him and trying to sue him into oblivion, which this makes, and I'm not joking, since the Justice Department cut a deal last year with Rare Breed for the FRTs of the ATF and all that, they have Rare Breed has now filed over 130 lawsuits against other companies, which, unfortunately, taking the side of Rare Breed for a second, per their deal with the ATF, it was, you are Rare Breed, this is, you're supposed to be the only one doing this. If anyone else is making something similar, you have to sue them. Problem is, people aren't, there's like Hoffman Tactical, for instance, that makes made the super safety before the FRT came out. I mean, long before, Rare Breed continuously tries to go after them. It's a completely separate design. But Rare Breed just does not stop. And they're getting a bad name in their mouth. I guarantee their shares and sales have dropped dramatically. But it's coming after, you know, people that aren't even relatively close to making a similar design to you is not something you want if you want to continue business in this industry where all we do is look out for one another.
You know, it normally takes like 2 to 3 years to even get a utility pad.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what ends up happening?
Oh, no, it's just, it's been filed as of last week. So they're still coming after him. What? I imagine what's going to happen is he's going to stop but you can't delete this stuff off the internet. Once it's there, it's there.
Yeah,
but he's gonna have to make a deal at some.
So what are the damages to them then? What's the tort behind this?
I think it's because it's in a forced reset design that, hey, you copied us. We're going to sue you for even making something of the nature. And what I imagine a good portion behind it is you're taking sales away from us. You're not spending. I think Rare Breed, I think, charges what, $500 for the FRT3, something ridiculous. Versus a 3D printed, less quality one that'll break after, you know, X amount of rounds that isn't even the same design. Well, now, you know, that's what they think is the issue.
What was the cost of that Atreus FRT?
I think 200.
It was 200, yeah. Something like that.
Which now they're on sale for 140.
Oh, there we go. Not that we're plugging Atreus or anything else like that. But I think the problem would be with, was it Rare Breed? Is being able to see or calculate what the damages are if that design is still out on the the webs,
yeah,
to where somebody can see and see it or whatever,
yeah,
and then be able to attach a monetary damage amount to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a lawyer.
No, and I imagine I guarantee that's, you know, a root cause in most of their lawsuits outside of the NFA or the ATF saying you have to sue these people, you have to tell them to stop. But the other thing too is with that stuff that's out there.
Did the NFA tell them to sue them?
The ATF has said if someone's infringing or close to you or has a similar design, essentially the ATF had said.
So are you acting as an agent of the ATF then at that point? As a company?
With the Justice Department saying you have to do this, I think you would be, or an extension of the ATF. Not necessarily, obviously not holding the legal aspect of it, but per their deal with the Justice Department, it's you have to do this. So I imagine if they don't, Rare Breed will probably get in a lot of trouble. But going after people that have a completely different design just because it does and it functions the same way in terms of a forced reset, now you're going to sue them. That does not make any sense.
I got to go back to what you had said. And obviously we're not entirely, maybe not entirely accurate on this, but you had mentioned like the ATF or DOJ goes back and tells a company, hey, sue them because they're mimicking or copying your design. And we don't want more of those out there.
Yeah.
So are you acting is your company now acting as an agent of them? I don't know.
I think you would be.
I know we had said during the break we weren't going to go down this rabbit hole, but isn't that somewhat like the Flock cameras?
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't have to get a warrant. I don't have to get a subpoena. I don't have to get any of that stuff because I'm buying it from a private company. The private company is the one that's collecting all this data.
Yeah.
And it's no longer the government doing it.
Yeah.
It's no longer the government doing it anymore.
Yeah. It's an individual.
It's a company.
Yeah.
Which... Yeah, exactly.
Which, I mean, the Flock CEO even said, he's like, I'm not apologizing for anything that's been... any of our equipment being misused. I don't know how you're misusing what you... I don't want to go down that rabbit hole right now. But no, I mean, for the Rare Breed side of things, I mean, they've... Since this happened, good on them for winning a case against the ATF. But props to them for doing that. But then, like, I know we talked about it a few months ago, but this year going to SHOT Show and then handing out cease and desists for people that have anything super safety or FRT related. And then going after any company you can find. And now you're going after individuals. That's insane to me. They're not profiting off of this. They put out a free design that does not mimic yours to the point of patent infringement, and you're going to, you know, come for their knees. That's just, to me, that sucks because we're trying to fight a political battle of making sure we have our rights. And now when you have someone on the inside that's actively trying to deter you from doing what you should be allowed to do, that's, I don't think that aligns well with what we stand for.
I think it's a way for government to circumvent some things, some constitutional things. I don't know. You know who we need? Like Bill Satterberg on the show one day.
I think that'd be good.
Yeah, we need to get him back on, but
anyways, we got the music. That's the end of today's show.
And Cindy's making racket again. I just realized.
He's doing good.
She's self-aware.
She's reached awareness.
I'm improving out there.
She's a regular AI robot.
A Terminator C-1000.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, stay
yep.
tuned with us next week. When we Cindy's going to be talking again. We'll
Maybe.
Come up with something creative.
If I'm in town.
Anyways, see you guys next week. Everybody stay safe. Yeah. Enjoy the fair. Enjoy the nice weather because it's going to be snowing before we know it. So, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, brought to you by